From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Monday. It is Monday, August 24th. 2015, and you are now tuned into Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, and we have a hot show to kick off your week. On today's show, we will invite D.A. Jones for the first time on our airwaves. He is a coach for the Kappa Express youth football team and is doing some pretty cool things in the community. He's also the organizer of the very first Lansing Football League Hall of Fame game that took place on Saturday at the Hope Sports Complex. Engineer Isaac Constance and myself, we were in the house to witness that game. DA will talk about that game and so much more. You do not want to miss that. Also, Michigan State University and their football team is finally getting the respect that they deserve. The latest Associated Press, or I should say the very first Associated Press poll came out yesterday, and Michigan State sits pretty at number 5. We'll talk about those implications for the team right on the brink of a new season. Can you feel football in the air? The pigskin, I can smell it right now, folks. Great stuff there. We'll also talk about Tiger Woods not making the FedEx Cup playoffs, safety in baseball, weekend winners, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If anything is on your sports noggin that you just have to get off your chest, call in right now. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, August 24th. Michigan State, which capped off an 11-2 season in 2014 with a dramatic 20-point comeback win over number 4 Baylor in the Cotton Bowl Classic, enters the new year ranked number 5 in the preseason Associated Press poll released Sunday. The Spartans appear in the preseason AP top 10 for the second straight year for the first time since 1966-67, and it marks MSU's highest preseason ranking in the AP poll since 1967, where they sat at number 3 in the nation. Now, two of MSU's 2015 opponents are ranked in the preseason AP poll, number 1 Ohio State and number 7 Oregon. We'll have the entire listing of the AP top 25 later on in the show. The offense defeated the defense 34-18 in the second jersey scrimmage of preseason camp on Saturday in Spartan Stadium. The scrimmage, which utilized a modified scoring system, was 155 plays long and lasted 2.5 hours under partly cloudy skies and temperatures in the mid-70s. Now, the offense produced some explosive plays. That's what Mark D'Antonio had to say. He also went on to say, quote, "I thought Madre London played very, very well, and our quarterback play was excellent. The thing you're impressed about from a coaching standpoint is zero turnovers. Anytime you don't turn it over in 100-plus plays, that's a positive. We got to continue to strive to stop unforced errors and penalties, things of that nature." In her first comment since investigators released their external report, former Michigan State softball player Alyssa McBride tells the Lansing State Journal she went public with her allegations against head coach Jackie Joseph and assistant coach Jessica Beach Bogracus to make people, quote, aware of the mistreatment and abuse that goes on within this program. Now, McBride provided LSJ with a letter detailing her response to a 98-page investigation that MSU released Wednesday in a response to the Freedom of Information Act request from the State Journal. We'll talk about that letter later on. It's way too long to read on our headliners, okay, folks? All right. Mitch Moreland's two-run double in the sixth inning led the Texas Rangers back from an early deficit and earned Cole Hamels his first win in a Texas uniform with a 4-2 victory over the Detroit Tigers on Sunday afternoon at Comerica Park. Now, Texas took the four-game series with 3 straight wins. The Tigers are 5 games in back of a wild card spot. What was originally an off day is now a travel day for the Tigers as they head to Cincinnati on Monday to make up a rainout from their mid-June series against the Reds. Buck Farmer will make his fourth start of the year in the 7 p.m. Eastern Time contest at Great American Ballpark. All right, hours after the Lions activated Larry Adrian Waddle and Jason Jones off the physically unable to perform list, Jim Caldwell said he's not sure when the team will have Haloti Ngata back from the summer hamstring injury that's forced him to miss all of training camp. Now, Ngata has been running with trainers out of public view, but remains on the non-football injury list. The Lions are counting on him to be the anchor of their defensive line this fall after trading fourth and fifth round picks to the Baltimore Ravens for the 31-year-old five-time Pro Bowler. Two-time FedEx Cup winner Tiger Woods has failed to qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs for the third time in his career after posting a 10th place finish at the Wyndham Championship. Now, Woods made his first start at the Wyndham Championship last week, hoping to qualify for the 125-man field at the Barclays, the opening event for the playoffs next week. He needed at least a solo second place finish to qualify for the playoffs. And Justice Winslow, Justice Wilson, was airlifted out of Pinoco Raceway and is in a coma after he was hit by a large piece of debris during Sunday's IndyCar race. Wilson suffered a severe head injury and is in critical condition at Lehigh Valley Health Network Cedar Crest Hospital in Pennsylvania, IndyCar announced. And Wilson was struck in the head by a piece of Sage Kerim's car when Kerim spun into the wall. Wilson's car veered left and directly into an interior wall. Shocking video that went viral as soon as the accident happened. Sad stuff there. All right, folks. Well, our phone lines are in our open. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, it's about that time to start the show.
Yeah, good explosive plays. I thought London played very, very well, and our quarterback play was excellent. And I think it's the thing that you're impressed about from a coaching standpoint is, zero turnovers. And anytime you don't turn it over in about 100-plus plays, that's a good thing. So that's a positive. You know, got to continue to stop unforced errors, unforced penalties and things of that nature, and that's all a part of this. Well, we've got to sort of change gears a little bit and get off ourselves a little bit and move to the next opponent. Our first opponent, Western, we got to be able to do that. But, and then we've got to finish up some situations, just go back on them a little bit more and study ourselves and make sure that we're playing the right guys.
After these two scrimmages, do you at least have in your mind a better idea in terms of the guys that are going to be able to help you out right away?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously we have a veteran football team, but, there's always young guys that are pressing and doing some things well. And they may take a step back and then they may move forward. So it's all about reps. And, we're trying to get everybody reps so they have an opportunity to show what they've got. But, that's why we go 110 plays, but cut down a little bit. So we just keep pushing.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Monday. That's right. Another work week. Another work week is upon us. But it is Monday, August 24th, and we are so honored and so glad that you have allowed WKAR's Current Sports to be a part of your afternoon. My name is Al Martin, always has been, and I am your host of Current Sports. And we got a lot to get to. A lot to get to. What you just heard was, of course, head coach of the Michigan State University football team, Mark D'Antonio, addressing the scrimmage over the weekend that took place at Spartan Stadium. Of course, things are so tight as far as releasing specific information and stats concerning what took place during that scrimmage on Saturday at Spartan Stadium. Because at the end of the day, they don't want any distractions. They don't want any media members like myself talking off the rails as to what those stats could implicate right before the season starts. So at the end of the day, pretty generic information concerning what took place at Spartan Stadium. Again, all we really know, folks, is that the offense defeated the defense 34-18. And looking at the scrimmage, which utilized a modified scoring system, it was 155 plays long, including special teams. That's it. That's all we know, as well as the comments that Mark D'Antonio made, which you just heard in our quick hit headliners. And he really harped on, the most impressive part to the scrimmage being how there were zero turnovers in 100-plus plays. So that's it. Now, there's nothing really we can draw from that. But we can talk about Michigan State getting R-E-S-P-E-C-T, as the great Aretha Franklin would say, right? Because Michigan State has been ranked as the number 5 team in the Associated Press preseason college football poll. How about that? That's pretty impressive stuff, folks. It's the second straight year for the first time since 1966-67 that Michigan State has been ranked in the top 10, the AP top 10, and it marks MSU's highest preseason ranking in the AP poll since 1967. Impressive stuff. You got to be excited if you are a Spartan fan out there. And, I think that now, looking at what Michigan State has been able to do these past two seasons, of course, finishing in the top five these past 2 years with a Rose Bowl win, with a win in the Cotton Bowl, and looking at how D'Antonio has really transformed this program over the years, impressive stuff. And I think right now the Nationals, the national board, the national writers are starting to realize just how special this team is. And the turnover, when looking at, this upcoming year, Michigan State, of course, yeah, they lost Trey Wans. They lost Curtis Drummond, guys who were very impactful looking at that defense. Of course, Pat Narduzzi is now the head coach at Pittsburgh. Longtime defensive coordinator under the tutelage of course, Mark D'Antonio. He is gone now. But at the same time, you get back Connor Cook. You get back a quarterback who, whose name has been thrown around as a Heisman Trophy candidate. Also, Shalique Calhoun, the anchor and leader of that defense. He returns for his senior year as well. So Michigan State, ranked number 5. What do you think about it, Spartan fans? Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, my man, how was your weekend?
Ow, it was good. And how can you say you're not ready for this weather yet? This weather is beautiful. This is pristine, man.
Right, exactly. I just get worried when it hits like 50 degrees outside. Right now, absolutely gorgeous, Isaac. We're talking about 72, 73 degrees. The birds are chirping. The grass is green. I'm loving it. You can walk outside. You don't have to put a jacket on. You can still rock your shorts. I just hate when it starts to get like in the 40s and 50s. Because like Game of Thrones, winter is coming, okay? You just know what's around the corner, all right?
That's true. But good weekend for me. Well, I'm moving. Just moved into my dorm, so.
Wow.
Busy day. This morning, I was up at 6 a.m. moving refrigerators and desk and drawers and all of that good stuff. So, busy day. I'm running on a little bit of amp energy right now, but.
I see. And I tell you what, I hate moving because I told you at the beginning of the summer, I moved into my new apartment, from downtown Lansing to closer to campus, closer to my job, to be frank. And, I just hate it because, you have so much stuff. You got to move furniture. You got to hit up, one of your homeboys to help you out doing it. It's just a hassle, dude. So I know you were pulling your hair out over the weekend when just planning to move. But you're all moved in. What dorm are you staying in, Isaac?
I'm staying in Shaw. And I got to shout out my roommate from last year, Pratek Ramshandi, for leaving me all his stuff to take care of as well. So that really made it better on me, made it so much easier. I got to do twice the work.
Yeah, that's
fun.
Pretty cool stuff. And what's his name again?
Pratek Ramshandi from India, Mumbai,
wow,
actually.
Wow, that is very cool stuff, my man. Well, hey, I wish you, all the luck on your sophomore year. A lot of people don't know, Isaac is pretty young, folks. You're going into your sophomore year of college now. How's that feel, dude?
Ow, I feel old. I do feel old.
Get
I feel
out of here.
Old. Because I've been doing this for a few months now, and freshman year, I just really tried to stay busy, so trying to get the most out of the college experience, but no, I really enjoy it, and Next year, I'm taking, what am I taking, 20 credits a semester, something like that. So
you're taking 20 credits in one semester?
Including this, because this counts as internship credits.
Okay.
So,
wow.
But besides from that, it's still 16 credits, so I'll be busy.
Yeah, you are going to be one busy brother. Well, I tell you what, brief thoughts, because we actually have our guest on today's Current Sports waiting right now for us. But I want to get your brief thoughts on Michigan State being ranked number 5 in the AP preseason poll. We're going to dissect this later on in the show, but I want to get your initial thoughts to when you saw this ranking come out.
Al, I thought the spot was around right. I think there are some people behind MSU that could be higher, and I think there are some people, namely Baylor. How are they number 4? They just lost Bryce Petty. That makes no sense to me. But at the same time, I think it's a fair rating for Michigan State and finally a validation of all the hard work they've done.
Yeah, all right, well, we'll see what happens. And looking at the entire spectrum of things, folks, for Michigan State, getting this national respect, getting this national notoriety of being, you know, being ranked number 5 in the nation, that's pretty impressive stuff, folks. I'm going to go on a bit of a rant later on in the show and talk about why Michigan State must live up to the billing for this upcoming year, especially with the expectations placed on them as they are now a number 5 team in the top 5 looking at this upcoming college football year. I'm going to stress how important it is for them to live up to the hype. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Also, I'm very intrigued to dive into this conversation later on in the show as well, because over the weekend, Isaac, I don't know if you saw this, man, but there were a few horrific injuries concerning fans at Major League Baseball games, and it's really pushing the conversation and putting a lot of pressure on Major League Baseball and the upper echelons of authority in that league to sort of, you know, toy with the idea of maybe making an all-around fence that encompasses most of a baseball field. I don't know if you agree with that, because if you're looking at tradition, it's never been that way. And I think really it's more so alarming that within in one day, ideally, you had two horrific injuries take place. I mean, anytime that happens, of course, there's going to that discussion is going to ensue.
Al, I think it's a discussion that should take place, but I'm not ready for dramatic action just yet. It's part of the risk of going to a game. People accept that when they go. And like you said, it takes away from tradition. So I'm not ready to see any changes yet. If this trend continues, then maybe we will need to do something.
All right, we'll see. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that as well as the show moves on. But we got him right now live in studio, our fantastic guest on today's edition of WKR's Current Sports. We actually saw this brother on Saturday as the Hall of Fame, the very first ever national, Lansing Football League Hall of Fame game took place at the Hope Sports Complex. It was a great time. A lot of people came out. It pitted actually the Kappa Express versus the Titans. Very, very entertaining game. And we actually got a coach for the Kappa Express youth football team as well as organizer of that very event in our studios right now. His name is D.A. Jones. D.A., how you doing, brother?
Real good. How you doing?
I'm so glad we finally got you in on the show. And, you know, it was a great event. I want to first talk about that event on Saturday, which you were really the primary organizer for, the first ever Hall of Fame game. I mean, first off, how were you pleased with the turnout that you had on Saturday?
Definitely. Definitely pleased with the turnout, you know. And my concern, you know, wasn't necessarily the turnout, but I was happy to see a lot of fans from Lansing come out to see these kids play, you know. And I really wanted to give the kids – something to play for.
Right.
You know, so.
Now, can you elaborate on the event itself? I mean, again, the first ever Hall of Fame game. How did the idea come about? And for those that don't know much about the Lansing Football League, can you kind of give, you know, our listeners a brief synopsis?
Of the Lansing Football League?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the Lansing Football League previously was known as the Mid-Michigan Youth Football League. And so it is now the Lansing Football League because we wanted to kind of get a fresh start and get away from the stigma that was under the Mid-Michigan Youth Football League. So That's where that comes from. In terms of the thought process behind the Hall of Fame football game, actually a few sad events took place for this to come about.
Right.
Last year, we lost a very good friend of mine, Khalil Watson, who was a coach in the Mid-Michigan Football League. This year, we lost another coach in Charles Johnson. And so when that happened, you know, I started thinking, like, you know, what is a way that we can sort of enshrine these guys that have coached and put this hard work, sweat, blood, and tears into these youth. How can we figure out a way to keep these guys alive? And that was the thought that came up. You know, why don't I do a Hall of Fame game? we can start nominating some of these coaches that coach these kids. And that way, years from now, people will remember who these coaches were.
Now, DA, talking about your background when it comes to youth football and youth sports in general, I mean, how did you get into the youth football game?
So how did I get into it?
Exactly.
Well, I played football in the Mid-Michigan Football League as a youth. Mm-hmm. And so when I went off to college and played sports in college and came back, actually, Khalil Watson, the one who passed away last year, he came to see me when I was about 23 years old and said, hey, we need you to come help coach. And, you know, I thought about it and said, okay, well, you know, let me think. And I'll get back with you. And this was during, you know, November, December of that year. And he told me the first day of practice, and I just showed up. And it's all she wrote.
Now, when working with the kids that you guys work with, I mean, it kind of took me aback because I also played youth football when I was a little tag. I don't know, about like 9, 10, or 11 years old. And watching those kids yesterday, Saturday at the Hope Sports Complex, and watching them, I always say, when you talk about youth sports, it's one of my favorite terms of coverage, because when you look at those kids out there, they're playing just purely for the love of the game. For you as a coach, DA, what's your favorite part of coaching youth football?
My favorite part of coaching football is the relationship, and the relationship I get to build with these kids. And I remember about 2 years ago, we were in Chicago at a Michigan State basketball game, actually. Mm-hmm. And a kid runs behind me and grabs me and bear hugs me from behind. And I'm looking, I'm trying to figure out who it is. And I look, and the kid says, hey, coach, this kid was a senior at East Lansing High School that played for us, Little League football. And everywhere you go, these kids call you coach. They never forget you. And that is my overall favorite part of coaching.
DA, how important is it for kids to get involved with youth sports? Because, you know, as we talked on Saturday about this, when looking at the digital age we live in now, with social media, with smartphones left and right, I mean, kids can get distracted easily. And there's a lot of distractions out there for today's youth. How important is it for, you know, for sports to be a part of their lives and to get them out and active?
Well, you just hit the nail on the head, you know, the word active. You know, we do need to have these kids active and in society doing something. But, you know, when you think about perseverance, you know, you think about teamwork, work ethic, hard work. When you think about those things, you know, you don't learn those things, you know, being on your computer or being on the phone. You know, it teaches you to be lazy and complacent. But, you know, sports is extremely important. You know, even the art of competition, or the heart of competition, you know, you're competing in the classroom against yourself with grades, tests, things like that. It teaches you not to quit, you know. And one of the things that I've learned through sports and that we teach through sports is there's someone out there that is better than you. But that does not mean that you can't compete. And it teaches you not to quit, not to give up. So I think that's very important for youth.
Now, the implications on Saturday's game, of course, it was, you know, talking to you after the game, I didn't know how important it was, because ideally you guys were playing for the city championship. I mean, the Titans versus the Kappas, of course, you guys pulled it out in the second half. It was very close at halftime, and then you guys kind of pulled away in the second half. And with that win, you guys do take home the city championship. Talk about the entire form of that and why that was so in that first game.
Okay. Well, you know, we've been experiencing some attrition, you know, in the Lansing Football League. And so we do have 7 teams. You know, and in our heyday, we had about 10 teams. And so at that level, which is the 14U level, we call that our varsity level. Mm. Last year, we had 3 teams. And so if we go back 4 years ago, we had 4 teams. Then we had 3 teams 3 years ago, 3 teams last year, and now we have just 2 teams this year. And it's hard to pinpoint what's happening exactly that is making us lose the kids at that level. But because we only had those 2 teams, rather than have these kids play each other 6 times, we said, you know what? It's going to be one game for all the marbles, and whoever wins it wins the city championship. Now, in the off season, you know, we did some research, and we found a new national league to play in, which is AYF. Mm-hmm. And so by the luck of the draw, we will have the opportunity to play some Detroit teams going forward. So the reason why that game is a city championship is because whoever wins the city – plays the Detroit team at the end of the season for a state championship game. And wow. So we had to use that game as a city championship game to nominate the champ to play the city championship from Detroit, or city champion from Detroit.
Now, DA, how old are these kids you're working with? How old are the members of this team?
Now, the kids on our team, the youngest is 12.
Okay.
And the oldest kid that we have is 14.
Now, if you had to, now you said there are various reasons, and it's really hard to pinpoint exactly why there has been that attrition when it comes to the Lansing Football League. If you had to sort of speculate and sort of put a finger on the reason why, or the foundation of those reasons why you guys have been experiencing that over time, what would you speculate and say?
You know, I would say support. You know, I mean, we need the support of our community. We need the support of the city of Lansing at large. You know, our kids play at parks. You know, for many, many, many years, we played at Gardner Middle School. Mm. This year, we've decided to go ahead and take three home fields, one St. Joe, Risedale Park, and then now the Lansing Community Center.
Okay.
Former Hill Vocational Center.
Right, right.
And again, you know, our kids, they're just playing in football fields that are parks or schools, you know. And then when you start to look at the rural areas, these kids play in stadiums. You know, right. Look at these teams out of Detroit, they play in high school stadiums. And so some of our kids are leaving just for a better experience, you know. But again, like I said, we really need the support of our community, of the city, you know, to try to put something together for these kids to be proud of. So
exactly. And you know, you and I actually talked at, of course, James Moore's SWAP youth football camp earlier this summer. And, you know, we had a brief chat, not really in depth, but we had a brief chat about the state of football at the youth level. Of course, with what we're knowing more and more about concussions, there are a lot of parents out there that are, you know, to be frank, hesitant about having their little guy, their little one, go out there and play the game because of the possible implications, concussion-wise, that could lead to memory loss, dementia later on down the line. I mean, we're starting to know more and more about what concussions can do to a young individual later on down the line. A lot of parents, frankly, don't want their kid playing the game of football because of that. You as a coach and getting a hands-on front seat to this epidemic, would you let your kid play football? And what is your response to those parents out there that won't let their kid do that?
Well, yes, I would let my kid play football. And there's a safe way to teach kids to tackle. You know, across the landscape of football, they're actually now starting to teach rugby-style tackling. And there are a couple of NFL teams that have instituted that into their practices and techniques. And we're starting to do that as well, you know, with our football program. For the parents that are leery of allowing their children to play football, there are other sports that are a lot more collision specific.
Right.
Okay. And one being soccer, you know, but the number one cause of youth concussions actually is riding a bike. So you have to be very careful on the stigma that football has in terms of the concussions, because that's not the only sport that can cause it. You know, and I won't belabor the concussion topic, but, you know, football, it falls down the list of sports that really cause concussions.
So you think there's kind of a miseducation when it concerns the topic overall, you think, right?
Definitely, definitely.
How do you solve that? Is that just going out and just letting individuals know that, hey, it's not just football here? I mean, your kid can, like you said, ride a bike and get a concussion. That could lead to things later on down the line. Is it just about getting out there and preaching that message?
I think so. I think it's just, you know, more so educating yourself on what concussions are, you know, how to avoid the concussions and what are some of the things that causes them. You know, and I think that, you know, if you listen to individuals rather than, you know, reading up yourself and kind of studying and finding things out, it makes it easier to pass judgment. But if you can educate yourself, you know, on the concussion topic, it makes it a little easier to make that decision to do or not to play football.
Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKRS Current Sports, we are chatting with coach for the Kappa Express youth football team and organizer, of course, of the Lansing Football League Hall of Fame game that took place this past Saturday, D.A. Jones. So, D.A., talk about the Kappa Express. I mean, talk about the foundation of that team. How did that team start? How many years has this team been going on? I mean, talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, the individual that actually founded our program coached for a team called the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. And this was back in the 70s. And so the Blackhawks had decided, and they practiced over at St. Joe Park.
Okay.
And they decided that they no longer wanted to have a football program. And so Willard Walker, who was the founder of our program, oddly enough, this is our 40th year anniversary. In 1975, you know, it was our first year of football.
Wow.
And Willard decided that he wanted to go ahead and continue on, you know, the football legacy at St. Joe Park. And so he approached our fraternity, which is Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
So I had no idea. Dig that, Isaac. I'm an Alpha. I'm an Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. I had no idea you were. So that makes sense behind the name then. Okay, proceed.
There you go. And I actually did see the Alpha Phi Alpha license plate on your car today, and I chuckled a little bit.
We had no idea. No idea, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I found out we have something in common.
We do.
Yeah. So he did approach the fraternity and said, you know, he wants to do something. Okay. And so General Motors used to have a plant over across the street from Sexton.
Okay.
Okay. And behind that park are some train tracks. Okay. And so the name Kappa, of course, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. But then those train tracks, there was a train that would go through there and haul freight and haul cars. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, they would call that the Express. Okay.
Ah, okay.
And so when you put those two together, that's where you get Cap Express.
Wow. Right? There you go.
Okay. And so 1975, we were founded, and himself, Coach Buckner, Coach George Cannon, and a few other great men, you know, decided to put that program together, and we're still here today. And Kappa Express is the last standing football program from way back then, and we're still here today. We have had many, many teams come and go, but we are a permanent fixture in the community.
So. It's so amazing. When you talk about, you know, the foundation of this team, D.A., it's so amazing to me that you guys don't get covered like you guys should. I mean, I didn't know about the Lansing Football League until we happened to run each other at the Swap U football camp. And it's amazing to me that more media outlets out there don't go out and cover your guys' games and give you the exposure that you guys frankly deserve at the end of the day. Why is that so?
You know, maybe the lack of support comes from probably the lack of importance. You know, some people believe that it's just really not that important. You know, I mean, we actually are dealing with that even in the Lansing School District in terms of not feeling that sports are that important to individuals, but it is extremely important for kids. You know, we can't cut out art programs. We can't cut out sport programs. These kids need an outlet. Mm-hmm. They need somewhere to go. They need something to do. You know, and we aren't the only football outfit around here. I mean, there's also Tri-County, which right. has, you know, a number of schools in you know, in the area that play football. And I don't think they get the coverage either. But it's extremely important for these kids. So.
Yeah, very true. All right, so from here on out, I know you guys are holding practice throughout the week, mm-hmm. preparing for those Detroit League teams. I mean, how is it scheduled and laid out for the rest of the year for you guys, D.A.?
We'll start back up on September 12th, and we will host our first Detroit team here. Location to be determined.
Okay, yeah.
But from then on, we'll host six games. Could be possibly in Detroit. Could have a game in Kalamazoo. We'll have a few games here in Lansing. But September 12th, we'll kick off our second game. Now, our younger three teams, though, they will play again this week on the 29th.
Oh, they will?
And so, yeah, yeah.
And what age group is that?
The youngest age group is 8 and under. Then okay. we have 10 and under. And then we have 12 and under.
Gotcha. Now, if there are individuals out there right now listening to this interview, D.A., that want to get their youth involved, their little one involved in the Kappa Express or just the Lansing Football League in general, how can they do so?
Well, there are several teams that play in our league. Our old website used to be MidMichiganUFootballLeague.com, which is under construction right now. If someone was thoroughly interested in getting a kid involved, they can either email myself at capexpress.com, info@capexpress.com, or they can also email Lansing Warriors, information@LansingWarriors.com.
Okay.
To try to get involved.
Gotcha. All right, you heard it, folks. And also, I would be remiss if I did not talk about, of course, the individual who was inducted this past Saturday at halftime. His son, Sean, was out there, and I actually got a chance to talk to him. But can you talk about the individual who was inducted, of course, who passed away, and him being the very first inductee for the Lansing Hall of Fame game? I mean, pretty cool stuff, D.A. Mm-hmm.
Well, Charles Johnson, mm-hmm. he was the first inductee, and Charles Johnson passed away, you know, this year, you know, just within the last month or two. And, you know, as a kid, I remember, he's one of the coaches I remember playing against, you know, when I played youth football with the Southside Panthers. And they had undoubtedly one of the toughest teams that you could ever play against. And they were sort of like the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, the black and yellow.
Okay.
You know, and these were some hard-nosed guys, man, hard-nosed coach. And he expected nothing but the best. You know, and he's revered in the city. He's respected. And, you know, I couldn't think of a better person, especially with, you know, the tragic, you know, death this summer, you know, occurring and still weighing heavy on our hearts. I couldn't think of a better person to induct first.
And when you gave the call to Charles's family and Sean, I mean, what was their reaction?
Well, Sean, man, he was breathtaking. You know, I mean, he thanked me, you know, and he thought that it was a very novel and sweet idea. You know, and I was just happy that I could make him smile, you know, but I think that, you know, for him, you know, I think he kind of held back the tears a little bit, you know, but, you know, just a breathtaking moment for him.
I'm sure, folks. And again, folks, I want to remind you all, of course, we tape Current Sports TV each and every Wednesday afternoon. We actually are moving our time from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. this Wednesday. I'll be sitting down with David Mad Dog DeMarco of WVFN AM 730. And on this week's episode, we will be highlighting that event that took place on Saturday
with Charles getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. You get a chance to hear from his son. You also get a chance to see D.A. On camera. Todd Duckett as well, and also highlights from that very game. I'm excited to bring it to our television airwaves this Thursday night at 10 p.m. D.A. and D.A., always a pleasure talking to you, my man. And you will be a live guest on our show, our TV airwaves, I should say, very, very soon. But I appreciate the time this afternoon, my man.
Thank you very much.
There you have it. The one, the only D.A. Jones, coach for the Kappa Express U football team. Folks, let's hear our first break. When we come back, we still got a lot to get to, including our chat on Michigan State being ranked as the number 5 team in the AP College Football Rankings. Also, safety in baseball, Tiger Woods not in the FedEx Cup playoffs, and weekend winners. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, Isaac, this is the very first on our show. We actually, we chatted with D.A. Jones, of course, coach for the Kappa Express U football team. We bid him an adieu. He was right on the door, right out. And then you let me know we actually have a caller that wants to talk to him on the air. So we're going to get to that call right now. Again, folks, you know you can call in each and every weekday here on the show, 517-355-9527. We actually have J.C. on line one that wants to chat with D.A. J.C., welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, hey, my man.
Hey, my grandson plays for Kappa. This is his fourth year, and they've won two championships out of the three he's played, and this is his fourth year. And I'll tell you, those coaches on all levels, on all those teams in that league, help those kids so much. My daughter tells me when she's playing football for Kappa, his grades are better, mine's better in school and at home. And those, I praise all those coaches so much because they do such a fantastic job. And yes, it's nice to win, but win or lose, those kids know discipline, and they put them on the right track when they get older. Setting the seed right now. What it takes to have teamwork and to listen and everything. And I just want to praise them. I go to every game. I have not missed a game ever once of my grandson's game. And I just want to praise them. I guess I don't know how to put it in words other than that.
JC, and as you just stated, I mean, it's more than football at the end of the day, what DA and this coaching staff is doing for these young kids, right?
Oh, you bet. I mean, it is just fantastic. Every level he's played, he just loves the coaches. He loves his teammates. They're a team. He shows them what it takes to be a team, and not an individual. And he talks about it, and he gets excited about football. And you're talking about concussions and stuff. And I admit, my daughter did have apprehensions about letting him play because he had to move up to the bigger level this year.
Right.
And she was going to let him play. And it's always up to him if he wants to. But she did mention if she had a concern. And me as his grandpa, I did too, because you hear so much about concussions anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but the only thing he's ever had was a little ankle sprain practice a couple weeks ago. And he hurt his shoulder a little bit last year. He was fine the next day. So, yeah, I think they're taking great precautions in tackling methods and everything, how to not to get hurt as much.
Yeah, yeah, very true. Hey, J.C.
Well, you learn it when you're that age, not right. When you're in school or college.
Right. No, very true. And it starts right there. I mean, if you train them at that age, you're hoping that it will protrude throughout the rest of their football career. It starts now, though, without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, I just want to tell a coach, you know, man, we all love them, all the coaches.
Thank you.
There you go. Thank you, JC. D.A., when you hear, you know, a call like that and a comment like that concerning what you guys are doing in the youth of today's lives, I mean, what goes through your head?
You know, to be honest with you, you know, we volunteer, you know, and to hear something like that, it sort of just gives you the energy to do it another day. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the season, sometimes I wonder if I want to go back and do it.
Right.
You know, and to hear something like that, I mean, that's a decade of energy right there, because I've never heard someone say that before.
Right.
So, I mean, I definitely appreciate that.
Well, I'll tell you what, D.A., now we can bid you adieu. I wanted to make sure that you heard that comment, that you heard from someone who has been impacted positively from what you guys are doing in the community, because it is so important, and I really hope you continue to do it for years and years to come, all right?
I'll try.
D.A. Jones, again, coach for the Capital Express U football team. Appreciate that. All right, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. We actually got another caller, one of our favorite callers. We always have him here on the show. We haven't heard from him in quite a long time, though. He's online, too. My man, Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Big Al.
How you doing, homie?
Well, I tell you what, I can't wait for another couple of weeks and we can start seeing the bullies up in Ann Arbor start getting their butts whipped like they need to.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Right. Well, I tell you what, you know, that's probably the reason why we haven't heard you in a while. You were waiting on college football just to come back, right?
I've been waiting for the bullies to humble themselves, but they won't humble themselves.
Oh, gosh.
The bullies still think they're tough up there. Are you guys going to beat him up?
Well, I tell you what. Well, what he is talking about, ladies and gents, if this is your first time hearing Ray on our airwaves, he's referring to the bullies as the guys out in Ann Arbor, U of M's football team. You know, Ray, we try to stay, you know, non-biased here at the end of the day. And, you know, we show love to Michigan and Michigan State. I can't wait for them to get it on this year. It's going to be an incredible game on October 17th. But at the end of the day, you know, I do think when looking at the hype surrounded around this football team and surrounded around Jim Harbaugh before Jim has even coached one game for the maize and blue on the sidelines, I mean, maybe it's a bit premature. If you had to guess and looking at their schedule this year, I mean, how do you think they're going to do this year, Ray?
Well, you know what? Harbaugh will fit in good with the bullies. He's a crybaby, too. He's going to get his butt whipped like the rest of them did.
Oh, goodness.
The rest of them did. You know why? He's arrogant and prideful. They need to humble themselves down there.
Okay.
So I hope they learn a lesson here pretty quick that they better humble themselves before it's too late.
All right. The one, the only,
this
Ray.
This is number 9 year in a row that they're going to get their butt spanked.
All right. We'll see. We'll definitely. Ray, thanks a lot for your call. It's good hearing your voice, all right?
Thank you, buddy.
I tell you, Isaac, I love Ray. Ray, you never get so. You know exactly what Ray is going to say anytime he calls in. He's one of those guys who just does not like U of M at all in anything.
Ow.
At all. Like nothing at all. He hates even the colors. Maize and blue, he hates the colors.
He didn't ask it, so I have to. Have you been down to Cracker Barrel yet?
No. Oh, yeah. I'm surprised you didn't bring it up. No, Ray always, like, you would think that Ray is, like, the spokesman for Cracker Barrel. I have not been down to Cracker Barrel. I forgot what he was even promoting. Some, like, Sweet Reggie or something like that.
The Sweet Reggie.
Something on the. What is that? What is Sweet Reggie? I've been trying to figure that out. What is that? Is it like a dish? No, he's not there anymore. But is that like a dish or something like that? Is that some a food or a sandwich called Sweet Reggie? What is that?
I'd imagine so.
I have
Sweet
no idea
Reggie,
what it is.
I will have to check it out. Ray.
I don't know.
I guarantee you I will check that out.
Ray, I tell you, you better strap in tight anytime Ray calls in, because you just never know what you're going to get. But again, we stay non-biased here. I mean, we're at the end of the day, we're journalists at the end of the day, Isaac. I don't show any bias either way, even though I graduated from Michigan State University. I bleed green. At the end of the day, I'm a journalist. I have to do a job. So I think that Harbaugh is going to do a fantastic job as the head coach at U of M. I just don't think it's going to happen as immediate as many people out there think it's going to happen. I say give U of M 2 years, and then they will be competing for, you know, the college football playoff and the national championship. But right now,
they still have a lot of areas to shore up before that happens. But I think right now, you know, looking at this quarterback battle between Shane Morris and Jake Ruddock, of course, Jake being the transfer out of Iowa, it looks as though, I mean, looking at preseason reports here and there, Jake may be the guy. He's getting more reps than Shane as we speak. And Jake may be that starting quarterback when the season begins. So, I don't know, man. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And on that same discussion, I want to talk about Michigan State being ranked as the number five team in college football, looking at the Associated Press preseason top 25 that was released yesterday. I tell you what, Isaac, Michigan State is finally getting the respect that I think this franchise deserves. You know, last year they were ranked very high, and this year they're number five. Michigan State being number five, for me, from a perception standpoint, it's being, you know, it's basically putting it out there that Michigan State is among the elite and deserves to be among the elite. But if Michigan State, Isaac, is going to have that aura that honestly a Michigan football program has had because of their success. I mean, they're the winningest college football program in Division I college football, and that an Alabama has, and that an Ohio State has. If they are going to solidify that their name as one of college football's best on a consistent basis, they got to back up this ranking, Isaac. They have to come out and have a year similar to what they've been having the past two seasons. Because if they don't, people will look at this upcoming season and say, okay, Michigan State clearly didn't live up to the hype. For them to sustain consistent success, which is tough to do in any sport, let alone college football, for them to not sustain consistent success and to drop the ball when many people, you know, the AP thought that they were a number five team, if they drop the ball, it looks bad and does not put them among that elite group. If they do live up to it, they continue to carve out their name in stone as one of college football's big dogs. I think they have to come up and really show out this year.
Oh, they do. But how about the AP showing love to all of those teams? Also, TCU at number two and Baylor at number four.
Yeah.
That's really respect for what happened in the last season, not based on history. And I'm so happy to see this because I'm so tired of USC being praised and heralded as this great team and they never live up to it. So I'm happy to see teams that actually do well get the rankings they deserve, such as MSU, Baylor, who I think is a little bit overrated even, mm-hmm. but and also TCU. So
yeah,
I think MSU, though, like you said, gain the respect they finally deserve. But they do have to show up this year because this is not an over-ranking. MSU has a great defense where most people are returning. Of course, Ed Davis is hurt, mm-hmm. and that will hurt MSU a lot. However, aside from Trey Waynes, MSU almost has their entire defensive starters coming back. And then offensively, Connor Cook in his senior year, MSU has a chance to do some special things this season. Each of the past two or three years, they've overperformed. And guess what? If they overperform this year just by one ranking, they make the college football playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, look, and you just hit on it, the turnover for this team. I mean, yeah, they're losing a few key pieces on defense. But we all know when it comes to defense at Michigan State, I mean, Mark D'Antonio came in as a defensive-minded coach. The defense we know is going to be solid. They're going to be solid. Even though they lost Pat Narduzzi to Pittsburgh, still, you get back Shalik Calhoun, Connor Cook, your quarterback, who's a Heisman Trophy candidate already before the season even starts, you get him back. This team is going to be just fine. And how about two Big Ten teams, in the top five with Ohio State and Michigan State? And then you get two Big 12 teams in TCU and Baylor. And then you get just one SEC team, which is the general consensus across the board that the SEC is the best college football conference out there. You get Alabama in that mix. Very interesting to see when I looked at this ranking on my cell phone. Very interesting to see how this spectrum played out. And I think Ohio State deserves to be that preseason, you know, overall number one. They're national champions. Talk about their turnover. I mean, they really lost nobody. And you get Cardale Jones, you get JT Barrett back. Braxton Miller comes back healthy.
Ohio State's going to be really, really good this upcoming year.
Al, I'm not ready to put the SEC to bed just yet.
No, maybe you can never do that.
History,
right? Of course.
As a Southern boy, but I'm still an SEC supremacist. I think the SEC is by far the best conference.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. It was just surprising for me to see that there's only one SEC team in the top five. And I think that all those teams deservingly deserve to be in the top five. TCU, they had a great year last year. They arguably should have been in the college football playoff. You know, Baylor, you could have made an argument for them as well. I mean, in looking at their matchup, you know, at the early part of the year, you know, TCU versus Baylor, I mean, you could have made an argument for either one of those teams at the end of the day. But, you know, very interesting looking at the entire spectrum when it comes to conferences who are ranked in that top five and even that top 10. So, very excited, though. I can't wait for that Michigan State and Oregon game. That's going to be a game that if Michigan State wins, they could go on a roll, Isaac.
And from
a national standpoint, Michigan State beating Oregon, wow, that could do a lot. I'm very excited also to see the transfer from Eastern Washington, Vernon Adams, who looks to replace Marcus Mariota. Looks as though he's going to be the number one guy. I've seen Vernon Adams play. I've seen some highlights, and the kid looks like he's the real deal. Very excited to see him play. Also, watch out for Auburn. They're number six, rated number six right behind Michigan State. Jeremy Johnson is going to be their quarterback this upcoming year. Seeing a lot of great things when it comes to Jeremy Johnson. So it's going to be an exciting year and one that is so unpredictable, Isaac. Even though Ohio State, they're getting a lot of pieces back, there isn't that clear-cut team that you can point to say, okay, they are the national championship favorites, and it will be a big surprise if they don't win the entire enchilada. Looking at this season, Isaac, there isn't that one or two teams that you can look at to say they are going to win the entire thing.
I've got to say, Al, I actually might take a different road here because I think Ohio State is that team. You mentioned them bringing back all the pieces.
I hear you.
Then they've got Joey Bosa.
Right.
Braxton Miller is actually going to be a really good receiver, it sounds like. Urban Meyer wants to start him week one. So
right.
I think Ohio State's that favorite. But like you said, it is anybody's game. This is not the SEC domination 9 years of old. Anybody could win this. Alabama, Ohio State, MSU could win it.
And what I mean by that statement is there isn't that one team that you expect to just blow out everybody and to make that run. Ohio State could get beat by Michigan State, you know, during the season. You know what I mean? Ohio State could have a few lapses here and there. Even though they're bringing out a lot of pieces, when it comes to dominance, there isn't one dominant team in college football this year. Not one. And the playing feels pretty even, if you ask me. So, I don't know. What do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Isaac, you know, we love to close out each and every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports by looking at the weekend that was in the sporting world and bringing you a little thing we like to dub Weekend Winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, all right, all right. It is time to bring to you our weekend winners here on Current Sports, where we take a look at the weekend that was and bringing you our favorite, I guess you'd say, stories, athletes, or even moments from the sporting weekend and beyond. All right. So for me, Isaac, looking at this past weekend, I was glued to my television looking at Tiger Woods. Of course, Tiger Woods is my favorite athlete, despite him not winning a major since 2008. But he put together arguably the best three rounds that he has had in 2 years. And I really thought that he was going to at least finish second in the Wyndham Championship this past weekend. I actually happened to be on the golf course when Tiger was playing. I was at Eagle Eye yesterday when we only got seven holes in and we got rained out.
So everyone, we were kind of waiting there to see if, you know, that they would, you know, blow the horn and would have us back out there to continue play. That didn't happen. So we found ourselves in the clubhouse just watching Tiger Woods and his fourth round at the Wyndham Championship. He just couldn't get it done, man. He had a double bogey on that back nine. It sort of just kind of took him out of things. And, you know, he put together a string of, what, two birdies in a row. But he finished his round, and he was tied for 10th. He went from, you know, tied at the, you know, for the lead at one point in that championship to tying for 10th. And it just really hurt me. So, for me, I don't have a weekend winner this Monday, folks. I just don't. Every person I'm going to bring up here is a loser, a weekend loser for me. I'm going to start with Tiger Woods because Tiger, if he would have just tied he had to finish outright second at the Wyndham Championship, which would have been a pretty tall order to do in the first place. But Tiger Woods not finishing the golf year in the top 125 golfers. He sits at something like 170-something. I never thought I would see the day. And I doubt whether or not we'll ever see Tiger win another major. Tiger Woods is my number one weekend loser.
I hate
to say it.
That's pessimistic. I've got something to cheer you up, stop your moping.
I don't have one, man. But
Ray, actually, an acute listener, obviously, he called in after and informed me what a sweet Reggie was. And so sweet Reggie is a talking, funny dog that Cracker Barrel has. And then also, they've got a line dancing fox. So, Al, my weekend winner is actually a preview for next weekend when you and I are going to go to Cracker Barrel and check out that sweet Reggie,
We should go there and definitely. This is a real dog, a talking dog?
Al, I could not read into that too much. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, so this is
it was tough for me to hear.
That is very interesting. My second weekend loser has to be myself, Isaac, because again, going back to my outing at Eagle Eye, get this. So we only play seven holes. We get rained out, and more to that fire was that my stepdad and my childhood friend Marcel, they drove all the way up from D-Town, Detroit, along with my little sister. My little sister actually stayed at my apartment and watched my dog. I have a Morkie. She watched my dog while we were out there playing on the golf course. And get this. We get a phone call, right, you know, when we're watching Tiger Woods on my screen, and my sister's like, Al, your dog, my dog's name is Chibale, crazy name. I'll explain the meaning of that name later on this week sometime due to time purposes on today's show. But anyway, she's like, your dog, somehow the leash, her leash that I walk her with got clamped on her back left leg. And I didn't know how bad it was until I got there. I walk in the door. You know, we get rained out. I walk in my apartment door, and my dog is in excruciating pain. And the clip is clipped onto her back leg, Isaac. I start panicking because my dog is like my child, okay? We had to rush her to the vet. They had to put her on drugs and take the leash off of her. And she was in complete pain. And, you know, they put her on this medication, and it ideally, you know, makes the dog drunk, so to speak. And she was just out of it the entire day. Safe to say, it wasn't that serious. Her back leg was just swollen for a little bit. She was back and at it this morning, though. So I was a weekend loser, though, because not only did we did not get our 18 holes in, but my dog, we had to rush her to the vet, and I had to pay $164 to get that fixed. Crazy, right?
Yeah,
crazy Sunday
for me.
Your
dog, too. That's a weekend loser.
Yeah, my dog, little Chibale. But she's back in action. I mean, she jumped on me this morning, woke me up, started licking my face. She's back and better than ever. So, more?
Yeah, real quick for me, the last one, weekend winner is the Lions because the defense looked great. And then Jordy Nelson, hate to celebrate another player's injury, but out for the season with an ACL tear. Good for the Lions.
Out for the year. Jordy Nelson. I couldn't believe that. All right. And Haloti Ngata, though. We don't even know if he'll be ready for week one. But thanks so much to D.A. Jones for joining us on today's show and you for tuning in. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll see you tomorrow and be easy, people.